ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्णा। लाइक टू थैंक चिदमा सका प्रभु फॉर हिज काइंड वर्ड्स ऑफ encouragement. We are very, very close in time to the most important day of the year, and as in anticipation when a great event is going to take place, there are enhanced emotions in the heart. A big wedding or a big game of cricket, maybe sometimes, or whatever big is happening, it draws emotions of great anticipation. Similarly, the devotees all over the world who are a part of Srila Prabhupada's glorious mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are eagerly awaiting the most glorious part of the year, Sri Gaur Purnima. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, in his glorious Chaitanya Bhagavat, mentions that the two most important tithis of the entire year for Vaishnavas, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, are Nityananda Trayodashi and Sri Gaur Purnima. Why? Because these days are packed with an unimaginable stock of unfathomable mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is in commemoration of that glorious day in 1486, in the holy land of Sridham Mayapur, in Navadvip area of the Nadia district of West Bengal, that the most illustrious of all avatars of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in this world. In this beautiful song which we just sang by Lochan Das Thakur, it is a song of such deep meaning. Sab avatara sara shiromani kevala ananda kanda. We would like to dive deep as our spiritual intellect allows us. Krishna cannot be understood by the mundane mind or the intelligence. Is adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means one who is beyond the senses and the mind. So no amount of material scholarship will allow us entry into the Lord's glorious pastimes or the intricacies of his avatar. Therefore it is called as guhyam, rajavidya raja guhyam. But using our spiritual intelligence fortified, the deep sense of genuine humility, we can hope to understand the glories of this great day of 1486. That day, described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, was a month of Falgun. The month of Falgun is going on. 22 days of Falgun had passed. It is the 23rd day of Falgun, exactly 11 and a half hours after sunrise on that day, when the sun had just set in the western horizon, came the full moon of Purnima. A day when devout personalities following the Vedic culture, were resounding the holy names of Krishna as they were bathing in the holy Ganga. It is the custom. Why were they bathing in the Ganga on that day? Because it is a means of warding off inauspiciousness brought about by eclipse. That was a day also happened to be the lunar eclipse. The Rahu planet was aware that when the beautiful moon of Gaurachandra is coming to this world, this mundane moon, a disk in the sky, is incomparable in beauty to the all-attractive Gaurachandra. So it did not have any role to play whatsoever, because the world was being illuminated by the Lord, who illuminates the entire spiritual sky by His own bodily effulgence. And the sun and the moon are just but insignificant portions of the reflections of Brahma Jyoti. So moon was covered up. Even the non-Vedic followers, the Mlechhas, were chanting Hare Krishna in ridicule and jest of the devout Hindus. At that glorious time, when the whole world was covered with auspiciousness, the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, after 13 years of being in the womb, 13 months, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, we have been born from a mother's womb by an average 9 months, plus minus depending on various uncontrollable factors. But the Lord chose His own appearance to be very divine. 13 months pregnancy, post-mature delivery. It's a very, very anxious moment, obviously, for the mother and the father. And therefore, they approach, Sachi Mata approached the grand, her father, Nilamar Chakravarti Thakur, who is none other than Garga Muni in Krishna Leela, and therefore a powerful astrologer, a Vedic scholar. And according to his calculations, which were very accurate at that time, people were very pure, unlike today's commercial astrologers who are useless. He could say that this is a child who is the Supreme Lord Himself, who is born in this world as Triyugi, the Lord takes various colors in the four yugas, Shukla, Rakta, Shyama and Pita. These are the four glorious colors. We can see that none of us have that color. These are Lord's own pure colors which He takes. In Satyuga He takes Shukla, Trita He takes Rakta, reddish color, Shyama in Dwapar Yuga, and Pita, golden color, He takes in age of Kali Yuga. Lord's descent has been proclaimed many millions of years ago. Unlike the foolish advertisement of godly men who are upstarts like glowworms trying to imitate the sun, all they can know is to grow a beard and smile like a holy man and speak jargon of spiritual knowledge and bewilder people, which is the high point of Kali Yuga, bewildering people, and spread Kaitava Dharma of cheating. What is genuine dharma? Srimad Bhagavatam explains that genuine dharma is that which is unalloyed, pure, unmotivated service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any amount of piety, going to tirthas, bathing in kunds, going to Kumbh Melas, etc., etc., all that is considered a Kaitava Dharma at best by the authorities of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything that does not foster pure love to the Supreme Lord is cheating. And pure love can only be obtained through devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That personality who had come to give the world this highest knowledge of pure devotion was proclaimed many millions of years ago there is a glorious conversation in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 5th chapter, talking about the Navayogendras who visited the Darbar of Maharaj Nimi. This was way back in Satyuga, when these illustrious Navayogendras, pure devotees, were great acharyas. Maharaj Nimi put forward very genuine, bona fide questions. Questions which are Jagat Mangalam, which illuminate us even for. Questions which were asked were so powerful and deep that those questions and the answers we read even after a million years or more. He asked, what are going to be the Lord's incarnations? What will be their functions? What will be their forms? What will be their weapons? And what will be their message? He asked these very relevant questions to protect people from believing in nonsensical godmen. After describing all the avatars, beginning from Satya, Treta and Dwapar, then he said, now my dear king, please listen carefully. He wanted to draw the king's complete unalloyed attention to what was being said now. Because what he was going to say was something which will change the history of Kali Yuga itself. It will bring about revolutions which the world has never seen in billions of years. Because it was the forecast of a personality who will be coming in 8.64 billion years. That's how rare is the personality you are supposed to be coming. 8.64 billions of years had to pass before this glorious person could come. The Supreme Lord, in his very special audarya bhav of unbounded magnanimity, a type of mercy he was carrying which the world had never seen in billions of years. Far out measuring the mercy which was given by all other avatars of the past. The avatars definitely come for distributing mercy, paritranaya sadhunam, to save the dear devotees who are suffering from the torments of miscreants, demonic forces, vinashacha dushkrutam, to kill the opposers of dharma, the asuras, and to establish, after killing them, genuine dharma for that age, dharma samsthar panarthaya. This the Lord definitely does in every yuga. Since time immemorial, he has been doing this for our benefit. But this incarnation of the Lord, which was supposed to advent in Kali Yuga during the 7th Manu, Vaivasvat Manu, and the 28th Divya Yuga of the 7th Manu, in that particular day of Brahma, was not just going to spread Harinam, which is done by every avatar of Kali Yuga. Every avatar of Kali Yuga in this 4 cycles spreads Harinam as a Yuga Dharma and delivers people from the clutches of death and gives them relief from all suffering. But this particular avatar, which Maharaj Nimi was supposed to just about to hear, was about a person who was going to give a type of love, a type of mercy, which will carry the soul in its perfectional stage beyond even the realm of Vaikuntha Loka and give them entry to a very confidential realm of the spiritual sky called Braj. Ordinarily, all religious practices practiced on the basis of the holy scriptures through sadhana lead to a lot of purification of the heart when we deal with a pure consciousness. The process of chanting, sadhana, tapasya, following of vows, leading pure lives. This is mentioned in the scriptures. And when by following all these doctrines given by the acharyas, that leads to purification of the heart, whereby attachment develops to the Supreme Lord. That attachment leads to love, and that love takes you to the spiritual sky. The limits of which you can reach is the Vaikuntha planets, and none higher than that. Nityo Nityanam Chitanas Chitananam Eko Bahunam Vidhati Kaman. The Lord is the Supreme Nityo, the Supreme Eternal, and we are all always His subordinate Eternals. He is the one Supreme Eternal who maintains all other subordinate Eternals. And even when the subordinate Eternal the Jivatma is purified from all kalmash, from all impurities, even then at all points of time he always remains subordinate to the Supreme Nityo, even when he reads Vaikuntha planet. This relationship of the Supreme Nityo as being the predominator and the Jivatma being the eternal, infinitely small Nityo, remains always in a subordinate condition even when he raises himself to the Vaikuntha planets. Of course, there is pure love also there. But the type of mercy which Gaurang Mahaprabhu was supposed to deliver to the world would allow a type, would allow the Jivatma to practice a type of devotional love which is so pure, so natural, so fantastic that it will actually subdue the Lord. It will conquer the Lord himself, who is inconquerable. The Lord is called by one of the names as Ajita. The Lord is Ajita, cannot be conquered by anyone. Nobody can conquer the Lord. He is inconquerable. But a type of love which Mahaprabhu will give to the Jivatma would be so powerful that it will subdue even the unsubduable Krishna. Because the love will be so exalted in its nature that that love will make the Lord become subordinate to even the Jivatma. So Maharajami was in rapt attention hearing all this. And in the 32nd sloka of that particular chapter, Maharajami starts describing in a glorious verse which has become the pinnacle of all verses for all the acharyas to explain Mahaprabhu's descent. Krishna varnam tvisha krishnam sangopangastra parshadam yagya sankirtana prayer yantihi sumedhasaha. This glorious verse, which is incorporated by Jiva Goswami as his first verse in the Priti Sandarbha, talks about the Lord's descent. What will he be doing? Who is coming along with him, his associates? And his primary means of deliverance would be through Sankirtan. And the most intelligent people in the world will follow. So this automatically establishes the barometer of intelligence as not somebody who gets high marks in 10th and 12th standard or becomes a IIT graduate. These are the mundane ways of judging intelligence. But the Lord himself says that the intelligent person is that who actually takes shelter of the Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have been called as Sumedaha, people who have got purified intelligence. So all of us who are here, all of us who have taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada's glorious moment, all of us who have become connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, are in the Lord's own estimate very, very intelligent. That's what the Lord thinks of us, but we don't think of that as ourselves. We think that we are the most degraded creatures of Kali Yuga who have somehow become connected by Prabhupada's mercy to the glorious Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So the Lord came in this beautiful place called as Navadvip. Nine islands were arranged like eight beautiful lotus petals with a central whirl of the lotus flower called Antardvipa. How were the nine dvipas created? By the intersection of various tributaries of the holy Ganga, who had prayed also in previous ages to become connected with the Lord, being little jealous of her sister Jamuna Devi, who had got so much of love and mercy during Krishna avatar because the Lord frolicked and did so many pastimes with her. Ganga Devi was telling, I have been left out by this grace of the Lord embracing me. So she came as Ganga Devi and she was allowed to encircle Navadvip area, which divided the whole area into eight beautiful petals of lotuses. In the central of Antardvip is a place called as Yogapit, where the Lord appeared on that day of the lunar eclipse. The Lord has been proclaimed by Sri Prahlad Maharaj as being Channa Avatar. When the Lord comes in previous yugas, he comes boldly as God himself, and it is relatively easy to see him as God because he does supernatural things. Obviously, somebody who can lift a huge mountain is not a human being. It is easy to see that he is God. He is lifting a huge mountain. But in this particular avatar, the Lord had come as a devotee. So we would like to understand today some of the unique features which decorate the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is the most unique personality there is. His first uniqueness is that he has come not as God, but he has come as God's greatest devotee. In the avatar of Narsingha, he had taken the mood of a lion, a powerful lion about to tear apart the flesh of Hiranyakashipu. An angry lion who sees that his dear cub, Prahlad, has been disturbed by this demoniac personality. He wants to just tear him and kill him. And he did that wonderfully. When he had to leave the earth which was in the Garbhodaka Sagar, he had to take a form which is suitable for that, and he took the form of a glorious boar. And he dived deep down as Varahadev and brought on his tusk this earth planet. So the Lord takes various moods which are perfectly suited to do his intended function in this world. In this particular incarnation, he wanted to give a type of love which is the highest love of the spiritual sky. The highest devotee in the spiritual sky is Srimati Radharani, our worshipable mother. The type of love which is experienced only, exclusively, by none other than Srimati Radharani. That love, which is exclusively her domain, her monopoly, her exclusive right, that same love was going to be distributed to all the insignificant jivas of the entire universe, qualified or unqualified. So he brought that. This beautiful place of Navadvip was just as the Lord is Channa covered, because he comes as a devotee, people don't recognize him as God. But we shall see in our discussion that how the Lord did reveal at so many points of time his divinity as a Supreme Lord, not as an avatar, but as an avatari. The difference between avatar and avatari is that avatari is the source of all the incarnations, and Narsingha, Vamana, Kurva, Matsya are just plenary portions of the portions. They are just avatars. They are not avataris, even though they are Vishnu Tattva. So for many, many years, just as the Lord is hidden, even his birthplace was hidden from the entire world. Please imagine how the Lord came, and then for the devout Vaishnavas were worshipping this place of Yoga Pit, and just within two generations of the Lord descent, that place became hidden from the entire world. Nobody knew in the entire planet where the Yugavatar was born. He remained Channa, and his place of appearance remained Channa as well. So it is the Acharya's glorious function which they perform in this world on the Lord's behalf to reveal the mercy the Lord brings. The Lord brings tremendous stock of mercy, and the Acharya's function is to become distributors. It's like a huge company has a big product which they want to market, but there have to be distributors who understand the value of the product and they can market it perfectly. So also Acharyas understand the value of this product, which is pure Krishna Prem. There had to be powerful Acharyas who would be able to become, you know, worthy carriers of this mercy and become distributors on the Lord's behalf to carry to the entire universe. After the two generations of Mahaprabhu's descendants were over, the Goswamis and the next generation, headed by Srivas Thakur, Nitamdas Thakur and Shamanand Pandit, more or less the Gaudiya culture collapsed. Just collapsed. And nobody really knew anything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for literally 400 years. a glorious event starts again as a revival of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the year 1885. 1885 is a year which marks the actual beginning of the modern era of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The events are centered around a great personality at that time called Thakur Bhakti Vinod, who is about to create history which will change the world. In that year, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a glorious prediction. Oh, for that day when Americans, Russians, Germans, Englishmen and the French, he mentioned these five countries especially, when these glorious personalities from all these five parts of all the seven continents will come together to the small village, insignificant village of Navadvip called Mayapur, with banners, with mridangas and kartals, and they will sing loudly with resounding tumultuous voice the glorious names of Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. They will sing Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan. That day is not very far. The eternal dharma of the soul will spread throughout the entire universe. That prediction was made by this great Acharya in the year 1885. Just after that, the events of importance in Gaudiya history still continue. 1887, Thakur Bhaktivinod feels, by now he is 49 years old, and he feels a sense of despondency in his heart. Said, my life has been useless because I haven't achieved to any extent whatsoever attachment to Sachitananda Vigraha, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And he thinks of retiring from active government service under the British Raj, and wants to take his share of pension, take VRS, what we call now, take his share of pension and live in a small village in Vrindavan with his dear friend called Ram Sevak Bhakti Bringa Prabhu, and spend his time till his last days doing bhajan in Sri Vrindavan Dham. He reveals his heart to do so in his life. A major decision, obviously, to retire from common service was a major decision for him. And he consults with his dear devotee, friend, Goyima Khyati Prichati. And Bhaktivinoda Maharaj says, wait for some time. On a particular glorious night, when he is in a place called Tarakveshwar, Thakur Bhaktivinod sees a dream. And the dream comes Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and tells him that you will go to Vrindavan eventually, but for now you have some service in Navadvip. What will you do about that question? Dream closed. That said Thakur thinking, oh, there is a mission for me. Again he reveals his heart to his friend. He said, you should now, who advises him, you should now shift from here to Navadvip. He is now in a place there and he has just come to that district of Sri Rampur, and he sends the application to ask him for a shift to Krishnanagar, where he can come close to Navadvip area. But he had just shifted there to Sri Rampur, so it was, application was denied. And plus he was getting further offers for higher positions in Assam as the private secretary to the commissioner over there, the chief commissioner. Another post was being offered to him as a minister of Tripura state. High positions which would fetch him a lot of prestige and definitely lots and lots of money. Because the government had recognized the Britishers that this man is powerful, is efficient, non-corrupt. Wherever he goes, things start just happening. But the dream was already there. Proposals denied. He had put his application to one person called Mr. Peacock. He was in government service, Mr. Peacock. And then he becomes sick. He becomes sick with fever, high grade fever. A doctor called Dr. Russell attends him and gives him quinine tablets and tells him, if you don't take rest and take a good diet consisting of chapatis and grain, you will die. Even with the fever, the desire to go to Krishnagar does not stop. He wants to go there. He puts another application to one Mr. Edgar, who accepts him, that application. On 15th November in that year, he actually gets the permission to shift from Sri Rampur Tarakveshwar to this glorious place of Krishnanagar. He's still having fever, does some government service there. His fever collapses his body completely. He becomes devitalized to do anything. Takes leave from office. It is the time of November when this happened, November 15th. As soon as Christmas comes, just a month or a month and a half later, he goes with his wife to, for the first time there, to Navadvip area. He writes in his autobiography that as soon as I reached there, there was horripilation on my body. My hair stood on end. He was experiencing ecstasy in just touching the glorious land of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Gaur Prem was surging in his body. Thakur Bhakti Vinod is Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachitananda Namine Gaur Shakti Swarupaya Rupanugavarayati. Gaur Shakti was entering his consciousness and flooding him from within. He started looking in all four directions. He took residence at a place called Rani Dharmashala. There he made an offering to the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for the first time in several days, after taking milk for 40 days, he took grains. The grains he had offered to the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the first time, he said, I had never eaten such prasad in my life. As soon as he came to that place, the fever was gone and his health started regaining. Obviously, the Lord was bringing him there for a purpose. And the fever was no more necessary, so it was eliminated by the Lord's mercy. Gaining strength, he started visiting Navadvip area more often. At once this time, on Saturday evening, he explains, at 10 o'clock exactly, he is sitting on the terrace of Rani Dharmashala and he's looking in the northern direction across Mother Ganga and he sees a mansion flooded with light and he's astounded to see that mansion. His third son, Kamal Prasad, is with him. He said, do you see that? He said, yes, father, I see a mansion with flooded lights. There's another clerk sitting there also, his friend. He said, do you see a mansion there? He said, I can't see this, anything. In the morning on Sunday, he goes to that place and finds that that place is called Balal Digi. And there's a palm tree there. And he starts making some research. And he finds two, three details. He finds that there is actually a place where there's old ruins of a great king of the past called Lakshman Sen, who was living there many, 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 many hundreds of years ago. And there was another great king called Balal Sen, from whose name that place called was henceforth called as Balal Digi. But he finds from some very exotic personalities living there, very senior members of that particular place, Vaishnavas, sadhus, that there is a mound of Tulsi in that particular area, which is the exact place of Mahaprabhu's birth. By now, Thakur Bhaktivinoda has become very activated in his search for Mahaprabhu's birthplace because he knows that this is his intended mission by the Lord's desire. He searches through three scriptures, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Narari, he reads Bhakti Ratnakar, and he is reading also Narayana Sarkar's Navadvip Parikrama Paddhati. And he goes through all ancient maps of that district. The people of that time gave two misconceptions to him about the actual place of Mayapur. He said, number one misconception which was given offered to him was that that original place of Mahaprabhu's birth is now lupta. It is unmanifest because the Ganga has changed its course and that area has gone under the Ganga now. It is not manifest anymore to the world. The second misconception was given to him was this Navadvip is the actual place of Mahaprabhu's birth. And that Navadvip which you saw was on the western side of Mother Ganga. The scriptures clearly says that Navadvip is on the eastern side of Ganga and not on the western. So Thakur Bhakti was not going to buy that because he was so much rooted into scripture. As the search continues, he goes to that place where Tulsi is growing. And he sees an old map which says this is Balal Digi is originally called as Mayapur. And this Balal Digi is just 100 years old name. And he finds neighboring villages. In fact, there are already people who are living in Mayapur area who had come to this place, migrated just recently. And they said, yes, we even now still call this place as Mayapur only. It is not Balal Digi. Thakur Bhakti is thinking very strong that this is the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. That there are a lot of testimonials saying this. But he wanted confirmatory evidence. There are a lot of empirical evidences by now. But he wanted confirmatory evidence. At that point of time, the greatest Vaishnava in this planet was Sarvabhauma Jagannadas Babaji Maharaj, who was by now more than 120 years old. So old that he had no strength to even lift his eyelids. If he had to see something, someone had to actually physically open his eyelids for him to see it. And he was carried around in a basket by his devotee disciple, Bihari Lal. Bihari Lal carries a basket and brings him to this place. By now, the scripture had already given the Bhakti Ratnakar had mentioned this. Navadvipe Madhye Mayapur Namasthan Yathaye Janmile Gaur Chandra Bhagavan. This is clearly mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnakar that in the center of Navadvip is a place called Mayapur. As soon as this great Acharya touches this land, this auspicious, most auspicious of all lands in this creation, he jumps up 15 feet in the sky. And he says, Ehi to hai nimai janma bhumi, ehi to hai nimai janma bhumi. This is the actual place of Nimai's birthplace. Gauravirbhava bhumestvam, nirdesh sajjana priyaha, Vaishnava sarva bhoma shri jagannathayate namaha. We glorify even to this date. And eternally we will glorify this personality as that person who actually confirmed the place of Gaur Janma Bhumi. Babaji Maharaj gave us this place. So, lo and behold, in the year 1888, this place of Mahaprabhu's appearance was confirmed and opened for the whole world to take advantage. For the first time in the history, people will actually will know where the Yugavatar, this most glorious person was born in billions of years on this planet. Where did he actually come? The events of importance continue in Thakur Bhaktivinoda's life. Comes in 1896. And he's writing a book called Amnaya Sutram. Where he is writing 130 verses glorifying the importance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent in this world from Srimad Bhagavatam. As an introduction to that, he writes a book called The Teachings and Precepts, The Life and Teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for the first time, the history of Vaishnavism, for the very first time, Vaishnavism was always sort of fenced, almost unnaturally, only within the limits of India for so many thousands of years. But for the first time in the history of human beings practically, in modern times, was a book on Vaishnavism, teaching pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna, going out of the fencing of India to the Western world. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda sent his books to all major universities in the Western Hemisphere for the first time. A great disciple of Srila Prabhupada discovered one old first copy which he was sent there in McGill University in the year 1970. After so many years, his book was recovered from that place. Srila Prabhupada was definitely aware that there was not a coincidence between the fact that he was born in 1896 and this book went out of the of India also in 1896. This was definitely a transcendental coincidence created by the Lord's own orchestrated events which he had planned for this planet and for this universe. Because soon after making the prediction in 1885 about this, all the French and Americans coming together, was another prediction made that very soon there will be a person whom he writes will extensively travel all over the planet with the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, in the chapter talking about Kardama Muni's teachings to Devahuti, he writes that even now, after so many years, the teachings of Bhakti Sanswari Thakur are being spread all over the world by him and his dedicated disciples. So this prediction which is made was is relevant to Bhakti Siddhanta as well as Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is that glorious person who has become the most powerful carrier of the mercy of Gaur and Nithai and to spread a movement which will flood this world for the next 10,000 years. Incidentally, there is a conversation by Krishna and Mother Ganga in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, where Mother Ganga, on behalf of all the rivers, is speaking to Krishna and said, now you have already gone, Dwapar Yuga is already over, and you have sort of, you know, closed your leelas on this planet. Now why should we be hanging around here? Because, you know, all these great personalities, they only come to assist the Lord. So if the Lord has gone, let's say the Pandavas went away, as soon as Yudhishthira Maharaj came to know that the Lord has gone, Maharaj Yudhishthira packed up immediately and he went to the Himalayas. He didn't even look back what's happening to the kingdom and blah, blah, nothing. He just left. So all the rivers were thinking, we should also go now. Why are we hanging around here on this planet? So Krishna says, no, don't go. There is going to be a great personality, because they were worried. The rivers were really worried. You see, these rivers also are personalities. They have got anxieties. Well, they have transcendental anxieties. Like we have our own anxieties in this life. How to earn money, how to make a living, how to be comfortable and how to have good in our health, blah, blah. We have all our own anxieties, how to raise children nicely. We have so many anxieties. But the rivers are anxieties that when people in this world, Kali Yuga is going to come very soon. The most degraded of all ages is going to come. People will be so sinful, nastic, addicted to all abominable activities. But they will know that bathing in rivers is going to be good. They will know that. Because ultimately they are born in Bharatvarsha, so they have some sense of, you know, understanding. But they are still very sinful, Shudras at best. And they start pouring all their sins on us and become terribly contaminated by all these sinful, wretched people bathing in our waters. Krishna informed him in that scripture that there is going to be a mantra upasak who will come very soon, after 5,000 years of Kali Yuga, who will create a revolution all over the world and create such pure Vaishnavas who will worship me through mantra. What is that mantra? Which mantra is that? Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! And he will create Vaishnavas which come all over, from all over the world. And then they bathe in you. They will relieve you for all sinful contamination. So the rivers stayed back. Because they were saying that Saraswati already has disappeared, so we are going back, we are along with Saraswati, we are also going. But they stayed back. So you find Ganga is still there, Jamuna is still there, they are all there. So this is what? This great personality who is sitting in front of us right now, whom we worship as our founder of ISKCON, he is not just a limited person who was about to just start a movement, a sectarian movement called ISKCON. Prabhupada is not just a person who is limited to just the movement in a very narrow channelized way. He is the actual ambassador from Goloka Vrindavan, who is carrying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message to flood through this institute the entire universe. Can we imagine the potency of Srila Prabhupada? A person who is supposed to change history. In the Brahmavarta Puran, Krishna further says that stay back, Mother Ganga, because he will be spreading the movement for the next 10,000 years of Kali Yuga. You can stay till that time, definitely. Because we know that even Jamuna Devi is there, but she will disappear after 10,000 years. We know Govardhan is there. He is a great devotee of the Lord, Haridas Varya. But very soon as Kali Yuga is coming to an end, 10,000 years, he will disappear. And Ganga gone, and Yamuna gone, and Govardhan gone. What remains of Kali Yuga then? It is just nothing but complete chaos. That remains definitely. Chaos will remain in a very prominent way. So Srila Prabhupada is that personality. And he is that person also who was destined to make the other prediction come true. So in 72 was the first Mayapur festival where all these personalities from all over the world, Prabhupada had started a movement in 66 in New York. In a matter of just 6 years, it created an impact on the hearts of the Westerners who saw in him a savior, who saw in him a father, who saw in him a pure personality, who saw in him the best friend. They saw in him someone who was searching for, but they didn't know who they were searching for. So they most effortlessly, without any inhibition, just surrendered their life wholesale. That particular era of the Hare Krishna movement is so glorious, the early 70s. The people were joining Mahaprabhu's movement like anything. It was just unbelievable. For example, the Radha Damodar Sankirtan traveling party started by Tamalakrishna Goswami was traveling all over the world. He had, I don't know how many, but some like 30, 40 buses or something like that. Huge amount of these vehicles which was going all over the country of America with stocks and stocks of thousands of books being published at Los Angeles from BBT. And were literally flooding the world with literature. Millions were being distributed. Millions, and no exaggeration whatsoever. The Sangeetan scores were like 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 books per day. They were literally doing magic. And the people of the time were being so much mesmerized by this movement, they were just joining like anything. Prabhupada was in Mayapur one day, 1976, January. You know, sitting with Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj, they were hearing stories of how this happened. Once a small story. A young musician was going along with his friends, who are also musicians, for a concert, a presentation in a big hall with all musical instruments and all this, whatever, guitars and pianos and synthesizers, and got a whole big, big wagon carrying all that. They were going for a program, a commercial program, to earn money, make the living, whatever. And on the way, they meet the Radha Naodar Sangeetan traveling party. And they happen to meet Tamalakrishna Goswami. There's one boy of this group, meets him. And just by meeting him and entering one of those buses, he decides, I'm not going to the program. I'm going to join these people full time. And he just says, okay, I'm going to sell all this equipment. He just goes and sells all the equipment, sells his everything which he had, because he was the owner. Otherwise, it's just his friends, who are helping him. He just sells everything overnight and gives the whole money to the Radha Damodar Sankirtan traveling party and joins full time the Hare Krishna movement, Hari Bol. That's it. Becomes a full time devotee. Much to the anger of his friends who lost him, who lost a friend and lost all the music instruments because, you know, what would they play? That's the type of magic being created. People were going to the colleges. They would stand in front of a college, and on the way to the college, they just invite people, come in. Take prasad, you know, whatever. So they enter into that van to take prasad, and they see the most empowered of all deities of ISKCON at the time, Radha Damodar Bhagavan, who is bound by ropes, as we know, Damodar. And he's here to bind not only himself, but he's here to bind the whole world with those same ropes. Almost like that. And they come out of that van shaven headed. No exaggeration. And they don't enter the gates of the college. They enter the gates of some ISKCON temple in the nearby area. Magic. This is the type of magic that Prabhupada brought in this world. We hear often this great Vaishnava Shyamasundara Prabhu say this. We heard this word forming from his mouth. Prabhupada was a magician. He says Prabhupada is creating magic. And like these, all these empowered personalities, Shyamasundara Prabhu and other Gargamuni Prabhu, Madhudish Maharaj, so many of them. They're all like, you know, secondary magicians created by this great magician. They were, wherever they were going, they were creating magic. They're creating little magic anywhere and everywhere. All over the world. Wherever they're going, in a matter of no time, the Western world did not know who Krishna is, who Rama is, who Chaitanya is. They did not know Hare Krishna. They didn't know anything about dharma. Steeped into Maya. Matter of just 10 years, Prabhupada is flooding the whole world with Krishna consciousness. And the whole world knows there is a movement called the Hare Krishna movement. And we are recognized by the whole world as the Hare Krishnas. In just 10 years, the whole planet knows there's a movement called Hare Krishnas. And in 72, in just 6 years of beginning the movement, Prabhupada, when he comes, and we have seen pictures of that, we have seen video clippings of that, all of us, we have seen that. And there are pictures of ISKCON devotees carrying these placards of Gaudiya Vaishnava Tilak, Mridangana Kardas, marching from Shuddha Mayapur Temple, Mayapur Chandradev Mandir to Yoga Pit, that the same road, and chanting loudly, Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari! And another of Thakur Bhaktivinoda's predictions comes true. Srila Prabhupada ki? So we are in such a glorious moment. Because this Navadvip, just like Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, like Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is Audarya Avatar. Krishna is called as, is known for his sweetness. The most sweetest aspect of Godhood is invested in Krishna. He is the most sweet of all the personalities of Godhead. Therefore, his dham is called as Madhurya Dham, Shibrindavan Dham. And Mahaprabhu is designated by another adjective called as Audarya Avatar, which means magnanimity. Magnanimity. It's a very special word, magnanimous. You hardly find anybody in this world magnanimous. That term is not to be just used for somebody who's just doing some charity of this and that. It's not just magnanimity, is a very special spiritual word. And his dham, Navadi Dham, also is invested with the same potency of being Audarya Dham. Why is Mahaprabhu called as Audarya? When Rupa Goswami saw for the first time the Lord at Prayag, being followed by thousands upon thousands of personalities with raised hands, shouting loudly at the top of their voice, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. He composed his most beautiful pranam mantra for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namine Gaura Tvishe Namaha. That great personality who is giving Krishna Prema, the highest spiritual gain the highest spiritual perfection. Krishna Prem, which is exactly of the same mood of the Braja Gopis of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Mahaprabhu has come to teach basically five essential principles.
Aradya Bhagavan Brajeshatanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kajidupasana Brajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Naparaha.
These are the five pristinely pure principles or Siddhantas which Mahaprabhu has given to give to this world. That the most worshipable of all personalities is who? Aradhya Bhagavan of all the various Bhagavans. Narsingdev is Bhagavan. Kurmadev is Bhagavan. Definitely, and we worship them with all our heart and soul. But the most exalted Aradhya Bhagavan, Brajesh Tanayas. That Purna Bhagavan, who is the son of Brajesh. Brajesh is Nanda Maharaj. That personality, the son of Nanda, the 200 form of Krishna playing the flute, is the most Aradhya of all personalities. Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam, the most worship of all places, is the land when which he performed his exotic leelas, Sri Vrindavan Dham. Aradhya Bhagavan Barishtanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kajidupasana, and the most exalted mode of worship of Krishna and Vrindavan, the previous two principles, is invested in the hearts of the Braja Gopis. So he has come to teach a mode of worship following the line of the Braja Gopis. Varginava Kalpita. This principle of Shuddha Bhakti of the Gopis is being taught by the fourth principle, which is in a book called Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Because the Praman of all these Siddhanta given is Amal. It is pure. It supersedes all scriptures ever brought out in this world before. And practically even makes them redundant. Kima Pare Ishwara, Bhagavatam says. What is the need for any other scripture if the Srimad Bhagavatam is there? Every scripture loses its relative value in one sense, because the Bhagavatam is the crest jewel of all the scriptures. That's the first Siddhanta which he came to teach. That all Praman of Bhakti is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fifth Siddhanta which Mahaprabhu came to teach is the highest goal of all religious practice is Prema. Prema Pumarto Mahan. It is far beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, which is there in all the scriptures of the world. The three Vedas, all the four Vedas, the Upanishads, all of them can at best take you to the level of Moksha by performing Dharma to get some Artha, to fulfill your Kama, and then you can get Moksha, liberation from cycle of birth and death. But the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches not these four inferior types of Purusharthas, which are extremely inferior to what is the fifth Purushartha called as Purushartha Shiromani. The avatar, we say Sara Shiromani, he has come to give the Purushartha Shiromani also, which is Prema. Prema Pumarto Mahan. In fact, this fifth perfection of the soul, Prema, is so infinitely exalted to all the other four sub-religious levels that anybody who compares chanting of Hare Krishna, it is said, to the gain obtained by following these four Purusharthas is labeled by the acharyas as a Pashandi, as an atheist. If you compare the spiritual merit of chanting Hare Krishna mantra once to the spiritual gain of performing 10 million Ashwamedh Yajnas, of living in the confluence of the Ganga and Jamuna for millions of years and taking bath there every day for so many years. If you compare the spiritual gain of giving a mountain of gold in charity to the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna mantra once offenselessly, then that person is a fit candidate for Yamaraj. This is explained by the Holy Scriptures. He is fit to be taken by Yamaraj and beaten up for comparing these two things. This is scripture.
Can you imagine the merit of doing one Ashwamedh Yajna? Yudhishthira Maharaj with all his wealth could do 3. Indra being so powerful could do only 100. And he became Indra because of that. Huh? Imagine somebody doing 1,000,000 Ashwamedh Yajnas. That means nobody can do that, obviously. If Indra cannot do it, then who can do that? But all that spiritual merit of doing that cannot, is in mathematics, is not equal to. It's not equal to, or it's infinitely not equal to the merit of chanting once this great mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. That's the mantra which we have been given. Imagine. Imagine we have been given this mantra. There are so many mantras which are chanted during those yajnas and during dan and this and that. But when we say Maha Mantra, we should know what this word Maha stands for. It is not just, Harirnam, Harirnam, Eva Kevalam, Kalavanas. It's not just that. That's how exalted this Maha Mantra is. That it makes all the gains obtained from all the other mantras and all the other yugas chanted as insignificant. Irrelevant. That is the type of mercy Mahaprabhu has come to give. Golokera Prema Dhana Harinama Sankirtana. This mantra, why is it so exalted? What makes it so exalted? It is a very simple sounding mantra, not even a complex Sanskrit mantra, which all twists and turns of meter. Just 3 words, Hare, Krishna and Rama. These are 3 beaches of this mantra. But what makes this mantra so very special? That even the demigods want to take birth in Vaishnava families on this planet is because this mantra gives us an avenue, a means to achieve a type of love which is similar to the line of love which is experienced by Srimati Radharani herself. This mantra is a means of achieving that exalted frame of consciousness. That's why it is the highest. In previous yugas, to even approach Radha and Krishna was impossible. This is explained by the Acharyas. You can't even approach Radha Krishna because Radha Krishna are so confidential forms of Godhead. Through all the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, you could at best reach Vaikuntha Loka. But the Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is composed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, is so fantastic because it synthesizes all the 4 Sampradayas together. This is another nature, another uniqueness of Mahaprabhu's movement. All these so-called bogus cults which are there in the world today, especially in India, are so utterly useless. Because they give you no connection with Krishna. They don't give connection with God. They give you connection with those people who are cheaters at best. Or looking for your money. Looking for name and fame in this world of birth and death. Only and only a bona fide sampradaya can give you connection with Radha and Krishna or the Lord of Vaikuntha. And there are only 4 of them and none other. And all these bogus fellows who are around, they can give you no connection with God and Himself. They're just upstarts who start a movement which will be here for 50, 60 years at the best. When they die, eagerly being awaited by Yamadutas, to get fried and oiling in oil pans, for cheating the whole world of the merit of human form of life. And they will just dwindle off into nothingness in a couple of decades. Prabhupada's movement is going to last for at least 10,000 years. And we are just 500 years over. Much more is yet to come. So Mahaprabhu synthesized these 4 sampradayas. That makes the sampradaya very, very glorious. Let's try to remember the glorious contributions which we have achieved, we have inherited from Mahaprabhu as a result of his synthesizing the four sampradayas. Because this will enrich our own determination to get the very best of all these four sampradayas. Mahaprabhu's Sara Shiromani, that means whatever he is giving us is the very best. The four sampradayas are already the best. But as we say in spiritual life, there is best, there is more best, there is the higher best. It goes on expanding. Spiritual life is not just, you know, stagnant, or it is just getting higher and higher, it's getting more and more nectarian. So the four sampradayas are already the best which they have to offer to the world. Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya and Madhva. They have given the best to the world. But Mahaprabhu synthesized the teachings of all of them and compacted, from taking two from each, into eight principles which embellish the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. From the Madhva Sampradaya, he took two principles. The refutation of Mayavad philosophy and the acceptance of the deity form of the Lord as an eternal personality. That came from the Madhava's contribution. From Ramanujacharya, see Sampradaya, we went just a few months back to the glorious land of Ramanujacharya's appearance and his activities. And we were so much impressed by that Sampradaya's devotional assets in the form of these temples and devotees. From there he took bhakti, which is free from jnana and karma, which is so much the part of our definition. Jnana karmadi anavritam. That came from Ramanuja. And service to the holy Vaishnavas, lotus feet. That came also from Ramanuja. And that's so much a part of our teachings of Srila Prabhupada's movement, that we hope to get some mercy, not by our chanting so much, not by our four principles so much, because we know how we chant, you know, we know how good we are at these four principles. We hope to get some grace from the Lord because we want to try to serve the Vaishnavas. The Lord, being seeing our service attitude to the Vaishnavas, will feel some compassion. Oh, he's serving my devotees. Let me give him some spiritual merit. So we chant Hare Krishna mantra desperately, to be able to get some revenue in our heart of an attitude of sincere service to the Vaishnavas. Because that avenue of asset which we will get is our only means of attracting Krishna's mercy, because he is attracted only by that devotee who takes the position of being the humble servant of his servants. And there is no other way Krishna will ever get attracted to a jivatma. It's not possible. You cannot attract the all-attractive by any other means other than by a humble service attitude. That glorious principle came from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And we worship this principle with all our hearts. From the Kumara Sampradaya came two principles. Nimbarkacharya Sampradaya. Necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. And the highest esteem for the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. That comes from this. We can see the five principles which we just mentioned. That comes from there. And from the last, the Rudra Sampradaya by Vishnu Swami, came two other powerful principles. Exclusive dependence on Sri Krishna and the acceptance of the path of Raga Bhakti or spontaneous love. What we are doing is Vaidhi Bhakti, Bhakti under Vidhis, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. But we hope to reach a state of spontaneous love, where we want to spontaneously are attracted to hearing and chanting and dancing. That's called as Raga Bhakti. That comes from Vishnu Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami. So in this way, taking two principles from each of these four Sampradayas, the Lord has made the Gaudiya Sampradaya, which makes it the highest Sampradaya ever created by the Lord. Same is true also for the Dham. The Lord and the Dham distribute mercy indiscriminately. That's something unique about Krishna, very unique to Mahaprabhu, that he did not restrict his mercy to just a small tract of land or to just a small tract of people. Mahaprabhu's mercy is so extensive. It is for not just human beings or human society. It's for all jivatmas. It is for all species of life. All the 84 lakh species of life can get delivered from the cycle of birth and death and go to Golok Vrindavan. Even the small insects can go to Golok Vrindavan. Can you imagine? A small spider, a small mosquito can go to Golok Vrindavan if he gets connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Yes, this is true. What karma it takes to become a snake? You have to be such an envious, lowly soul to become a snake. Huh? It is the most degraded of all species one can ever get into. A snake. Our biggest disease of life is envy to Krishna. That's why we are in the material world. Huh? The Lord says, Advishta Sarva Bhutanam. One who is Advishta is glorious. Huh? But the snake represents envy in this world. Such a degraded species. Huh? When the Lord is going to Jharikhand forest, lost in ecstasy of his own internal heart's love, observed keenly by Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who gives a historical account of what's really happening during that lonely travels of the Lord through a place which nobody has seen before, the thick jungles of Jharikhand forest in Bihar. The Lord is passing by and he sees a herd of wild elephants. These are not tame elephants which we see sometimes on the road, you know, with, or we see in Mayapur that tilak is there. They are wild elephants who indiscriminately just kill if they become mad. They are drinking water from the pond. The Lord sees these elephants and he wants to give them prema bhakti. And takes water in his hands and throws it on them. Chant Hare Krishna. And the elephants just erupt in a rapture of pure love. And they start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They start dancing in a kirtan. The Lord moves forward and he sees wild tigers. Imagine Balabhadra Bhattacharya's condition. He is walking behind. Mahaprabhu is God. He sees in all these elephants and tigers and rhinoceros and boars and, you know, these fierce snakes. He sees them all, his own beloved children. Krishna is Aham Prita Padha Pita. He sees the father saying, oh, my son's in a snake body. Oh, my daughter in a, you know, in a lioness body. You know, what? He sees all these entities and says, oh, my dear children, how you are suffering in this dense jungle of Jharikhand. Whatever the Lord is thinking, we don't know. But he's just going there, giving all of them the greatest treasure of his own heart. My dear children, chant Hare Krishna. And you find this ferocious deer and these tigers, which are, as you say, you know, inherently the worst of enemies. A deer has got powerful ears. Why? Because it just senses even a rustle and bustle of the leaves of a tiger. It just runs at top speed. And we have seen paintings, they are right here, of a tiger and a deer kissing each other. You kiss somebody only when you love that person. The tiger is kissing the deer and the deer is kissing the tiger out of pure love. Why? Because the deer is no longer in the bhav of I am a deer and you are a tiger and well, I should keep away from you. You are a Vaishnava and I am a Vaishnava and we all love Krishna. That's a common factor between us. Let's love each other and let's dance in ecstasy. The snakes are jumping in ecstasy. We can see that. The wild rhinoceros, you know how terrible they are. If they sense human blood, you can't bypass a rhinoceros with a body filled with blood. You're just going to be torn apart. But the rhinoceros is chanting Hare Krishna mantra. That means Mahaprabhu's mercy is so infinitely boundless that anybody and everybody in any species of life, including the worst sinners, Jagai and Madhai, whose sinful activities cannot be counted even by Chitra Ketu, Chitragupta, the chief accountant of Yamaraj. Yamaraj also has his office, just like we have our office. And in that office, they have accounts, books of account. And we have our account files also. We have our files are there. What we have done, all nonsense we have done, it is all recorded there. But the files of Jagai and Madhai occupied so much space. They didn't have place to keep those files. All the rooms, all their record sections were filled with so much of files. It is described by Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vinamdas Thakur, how much was the intensity and frequency of the sinful activities of Jagai and Madhai. No exaggerations, it explains. We will find it funny, but it is true that the entire department of Yamaraj was sort of neglecting whatever everybody else was doing in this world. Because they had so much to do, because these two people were performing so much sinful activity that even finishing their record telling was keeping them full time busy. And they were all working full time shifts, three type shifts in a day. Like we have our call centers which work all around the day. So like calling, taking calls. Yes, Jagai, what did he do? He did this, he did that. He drank and he killed this and he murdered this and raped this person. Constantly doing activities like that. 24 hours drunk. Speaking wild words of obscenity. Eating meat day in and day out. They were worst sinners the world has ever seen. Ferocious. We can imagine the terror of Ravan and Kumbhakarna in Jagai Madhai. Can you imagine that? How ferocious was Kumbhakarna? He was eating people alive, is it not? When he was on the battlefield of in Ramayana, he was just holding monkeys and eating them alive, chewing them. That ferocity, that cruelty, that hatred for all life was in the heart of Jagai and Madhai. The envy of Shishupal was in Jagai and Madhai. The anger of Ravan and Dantavakra was in Jagai and Madhai. And all that put together was what they were really doing. What hope do they ever have in previous incarnations of surviving? Vinashaya Dushrutam, the Lord came specifically in the world of Ramchandra to destroy Ravan and Kumbhakarna. That was his prime motivation of coming here, to just kill them. And in this incarnation, the Lord was so much agitated and provoked, not so much by the sinful activities of Jagai Madhai, but because when they hit the head of Nityananda Prabhu, it was too much to bear. And the same Shanta, the same Soumya, the same gentle Mahaprabhu, for the first time in the Leela, and only once and there, never after again, invoked his most invincible weapon, the Sudarshan Chakra, to kill them. But as we sang in the song, Paramakaruna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaurachandra. The Lord wanted to kill, not them for the sins, mind you, but kill them for the offense of hitting. He was willing to neglect all the sins they had done. He couldn't care less about what they were doing. It's immaterial what they were doing. It did not even register in his mind. But when they hit Nityananda Prabhu with the mud pot, that was enough to call for their death. That offense was enough to invoke the Lord's wrath. But Paramakaruna, Nityananda Prabhu begged the Lord to forgive even Jagai and Madhai. And what did he trade? He traded his own spirituality. Nityananda Prabhu said, my dear Lord, if I have gained any spiritual merit in my life of all the devotional activities I have done, I trade that. Let that go into the account of Jagai and Madhai. And let me become completely devoid of all spiritual merit. But let that be the saving grace upon Jagai and Madhai. My dear Lord, you are not supposed to kill in this incarnation, because in Kali Yuga, everybody is like Jagai and Madhai, more or less. And we can see it is so true even today. How many cows are killed on the planet Earth today? How many chickens are being consumed by Rakshasi Vritti people even today? There is no even account of how many chickens are consumed in the city of Bombay on a Sunday. How many frogs are being killed? How many monkeys are being killed? There is just no statistics to how much man has become a evil, demoniac, meat consumer, savage. Even in India, Indians have become savage people. McDonald's is the place that is glorified as a place where people want to go. It's the biggest cow killer on the planet. That company is the most wretched company there is on this planet. People are consuming this as fashion. This is the type of people we are living in Kali Yuga. Therefore, everybody of us who are living like that are objects of the Sushan Chakra by the Lord's previous style of doing things. They have to be just killed mercilessly. But even Jagamadeva were spared. And even they were given the same Prema Bhakti. They also offered the same thing. Undeservingly, definitely. So whether it's an envious snake or Jagai Madhai, Patra apatra na dekhi sthana sthan. The Lord is here to give indiscriminately. Therefore, it is said, Gaur and Nithai are so much intoxicated with love of God. What is the feature of an intoxicated person? He doesn't know what he is doing. He just goes on the road, he is just intoxicated, like an elephant. So Mahaprabhu and Nityananda are so much intoxicated with pure love. They will give this love to anybody. Whether they ask or even if they don't ask, they will get this love of God. This was the command given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Suno suno Nityananda, suno Haridas. Sarvatra amar agya koro hai prakash. Prati ghare ghare giya koro e bhiksha. Bolo Krishna bhajo Krishna. Koro Krishna shiksha. This is the command given by Mahaprabhu to Haridas and Nityananda and to all of us in this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That go to every town and village. Go to every home. Ghare ghare diya. Go there. What do you request them? Bolo Krishna. Bhajo Krishna. Koro Krishna shiksha. This is the only exclusive motive of the Hare Krishna movement. To make people chant the Hare Krishna mantra. To make people worship the most exalted Brajesha Tanayas, Shri Radha and Krishna. And to teach the whole world about the message of Gita and Srimad Bhagavat. These are the only three exclusive purposes of the Hare Krishna movement and none other. And the same merit is also there in the Dham of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord gave the same mercy. The Lord's Dham gives the same mercy. And all his associates, beginning from the six Goswamis and thereafter, and especially Thakur Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and all the dedicated followers. This is their mission. Our mission is simply to take this mercy and distribute it. This is the command which we all have been given by the Lord. Bharata Bhumita Hoila Manushya. Janma Yar, Janma Sarthaka Kori, Koro Para Upakar. This is our designated role as fortunate residents of the land of Bharatvarsha. To make our life successful by accepting Mahaprabhu's mercy and on the Lord's behalf, on the Acharya's behalf, on Srila Prabhupada's behalf, to give this mercy to anyone and everyone. Yar dekhata hai kaho, Krishna Upadesh. If we can do that, our life is already successful. All that we need to do is simply stick on till we die into this movement. As it is said, what does it need for a rich man's son to inherit his father's property? All that it needs for the rich man's son to inherit all the father's property and estate and companies is to remain alive. He should not die. If he dies, and the property goes to the cousin and to somebody else. But if he remains alive with his father, automatically the father in his will says, give all this to my son. Similarly, if we have to inherit from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and from Srila Prabhupada this glorious, most exalted prema bhakti, of which is experienced by Srimati Radharani and Lord Chaitanya, then all we have to do is to simply remain alive and vibrant and viable members of the Hare Krishna movement. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna mantra every day 16 rounds, simply by following the 482 principles and trying to assist Srila Prabhupada, then being the servant of the servant of the servant, we just do these simple things and do not offend Vaishnavas, then we will all of us wholesale en masse go to that most exalted place, which is very rarely achieved according to Brahma Samhita. Virala Katipaye. Virala. Virala means very rarely achieved. And we can see that this movement, Mahaprabhu is actually that moment which is going to do this. When we go there up, we will see Prabhupada definitely. We will see Bhaktivedanta Maharaj definitely. We will see Gaur Govind Maharaj definitely. We will see Ladini Mataji definitely. And we will definitely see our dear friend Stoka Krishna Prabhu. We will see all of them are there, frolicking with Krishna, playing games with him. It is happening. This movement is the only movement which can change and save the entire world, and none other. This is our firm conviction. Because unless you take shelter of the Yuga Avatar, nobody in this Yuga will be saved. You have to go to Radha Krishna through the Yuga Avatar. He is the person who is supposed to take your worship and transfer to Krishna. We cannot approach Krishna and Radha directly. That is sahajya. It's nonsense. It doesn't really happen like that. It's ridiculous. It's just a mental concoction. We have to all go through Gaur and Nitai and their sincere followers. So we will see all these personalities in the spiritual sky. Let us just remain vibrantly involved, actively involved. It may be difficult sometimes. We have all our anarthas. It's true. The most frequent question asked is, you know, some of our friends ask like that. One of them is Anandan Prabhu. How will we do it? Like that. How is it possible to stay alive? Like that, like that. Just hang on. Let's not complicate the whole issue. Just keep chanting. Just keep eating Krishna Prasadam. Just keep dancing in the kirtans. There is so much merit in simply dancing in a kirtan. We don't even know this. Prabhupada says in one of these songs that only by chanting and dancing you'll go to the spiritual world. Imagine what it needs to just chant and dance. Do not think that this is not, you will not reach the goal. This is there in one of our translation of our songs. You will go to spiritual only by chanting and dancing. Because the Lord's process is that. The only avatar which dances, Ram doesn't dance like that. Narsingdev is not dancing with Hiranyakashipu. Matsya avatar is not dancing with the sages. Varadev is not dancing with the lessons of Jannaloka, Tapaloka. He's not dancing with Hiranyakashipu either. But here, the Lord is dancing. When does a person dance? Then he's happy. The Lord is happy. The Lord is blissful. What is giving us is blissful. Therefore, it's called Kevala Ananda Kand. So let us keep on dancing and chanting. We will go back to Godhead, dancing our way back to Godhead. That's the moment. That's how glorious the movement is. Who would want to go to any other movement for anything inferior, substitute, cheap imitation? Who is that fool? Who after understanding the glories of the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ever take any imitation, however glorious it may appear by its shine? But nothing shines more than molten gold in this world. The most shining of all objects in the world is molten gold. Gold itself is shining. When it is pure and melted away, it shines even more brilliantly. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Suvarna Varno Hemango. Mahabharat says, Dana Parva. This personality is Suvarna Varna. Hema Anga. He means gold. Anga means body. Because this is the color of Srimati Radharani. So we want to stick around with that person who is shining like gold. And we become like that. We become like gold also. Who wants to go to buy cheap iron or copper, which the world is selling? Nobody will do that. So let us all now gather together in a glorious kirtan, dancing with all our hearts filled with joy, welcoming Mahaprabhu with great anticipation. Mahaprabhu is going to come again on 14th of this month. As they say in Christ, he's going to be reborn. Mahaprabhu is going to be reborn again on that same day of Gaur Purnima. And he will appear into our heart. Definitely. If you only we have a simple, sincere desire to receive him. By practicing simple humility. Tinadabhi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna. Amani namana dena. By practicing simple humility of the heart at all times, Mahaprabhu is most pleased to enter our hearts. Let us thank Srila Prabhupada endlessly for giving us this opportunity. Let us thank all our acharyas endlessly. Let us thank Gauranitha endlessly. Because that gratefulness is our price we have to pay to become receptive to the mercy they have brought. So this discussion is primarily to make our hearts more enriched with gratefulness. The more we dive deeper and deeper into the understanding of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance, the more we will be in a state of ecstasy, of anticipation. And the more we will savor it ourselves, and the more we will be willing to dedicate our lives to distribute all this to all our friends, colleagues, all over the world. Because it is going to happen. Prithivideyachi Nagaradi Gram. It is going to happen. It is already happening. Prabhupada has done it. He has set the ball in motion. And nobody can stop it. The whole world is soon going to be flooded by Gaur Prem, Krishna Prem. And at best what we can do is become carriers of that mercy and just give it to somebody, as many people as we can around us. So I'd like to thank all of you for your patient hearing. If there are any questions or comments, we can take a few. And then we should have nice Sankirtan.
Hare Krishna, I was asked this question and just wanted your input on the same, that we are saying that there is no way to approach Radha and Krishna except to the mercy of, except via Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But, you know, there is one of the four sampradayas, they teach us worship Radha Krishna, but they don't necessarily worship Lord Chaitanya. So does it mean that sampradaya, which is no doubt a bona fide sampradaya, one of the four, they don't achieve Radha Krishna because they don't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they worship Radha Krishna?
All these four acharyas, Madhava, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka Acharya, these four acharyas, all of them historically have visited Navadvip Dham. And all of them have been blessed by the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is historical account of this in the, you know, Gaur Katha scriptures, that they all had the darshan of the Lord
and they were directly empowered by the Lord to do whatever they are supposed to do. So, even though in an external way, they may not be having on their altars Gaurang Mahaprabhu's Vigraha, as we worship him in a very obvious and external way, these acharyas were definitely blessed completely by Mahaprabhu's mercy. So, because whatever they are speaking is with the sanction and blessings of the Lord, because they have themselves a connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in person, these four sampradayas are also connected with Mahaprabhu's mercy. So, thank you very much. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Shri Gaur Purnima Mahotsav ki! And now for two very important announcements. We can only get Gaur Prem, Krishna Prem, from those who have it. In the next few days, when we shall be celebrating Gaur Purnima, festival begins from next Saturday. And quite obviously, the best way to start the festival is through Sankirtan. So I was asked to inform all of you that in our great exaltation of heart, to imbibe, to make our hearts fertile for the days of festival where Mahaprabhu's mercy will be available in extraordinary bountiful form, there will be a Shobha Yatra on Saturday where Gaur and Nitai will accompany us to the streets of Chowpatty. Rebirth! The same Lord who came to spread, and we all know Mahaprabhu has come to this Chowpatty area also, we know that. It is historically testified that this tract of land which we are living here is blessed with the footprints of Mahaprabhu, as documented by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said that Mahaprabhu has come to Dvapayani, which is modern name Bombay or Mumbai. So, knowing that very well, that Mahaprabhu has come here, he has come to Thana also, it is given in the scriptures. So the Lord has come here to this glorious place. His footprints are very much there, a part of the dust around. So he had walked around this place himself, lost in his own ecstasy of heart. And we want to commemorate that event, that the Lord actually, this Supreme Lord who comes to the earth planet once in so many billions of years, did walk on the track of land where our temple is situated. So for us at the Gopinath Mandir, it is a very special thing to go on Nagar Sankirtan with Gaur and Nitai again. The same thing which it did in somewhere around 1510. So Gaur Nitai in their Utsav Murti forms will be coming along with us. Rather, we will be going along with them on a nice palanquin and accompanying us through the streets, distributing Mahaprabhu's mercy to anyone, everyone. As Bhurida Jana, we all can become Bhuridas. Bhuridas means welfare workers. The Lord wants us to become Bhurida. Bhurida means distributors of His mercy. Anybody who becomes a distributor of Mahaprabhu's mercy becomes Bhurida. It's a Bhurida Jana. So we are hereby invited officially by the temple on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come for the Shobha Yatra on next Saturday at 5:30 p.m. sharp. Where we will start from here and go through all these holy places around where Mahaprabhu's footprints are unmanifestedly there. And we will flood this area with Naam Sankirtan. That's the first announcement. Please come, please remember this. Second announcement is, as I said, we get Gaur Prem from Gauranga Mahaprabhu's devotees. A very special person is going to descend upon our temple in the next few days. His name is His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj. Almost all of us here haven't seen him, bearing a very few who have seen him only once when he came 20 years ago for a few hours at Mahaprabhu Prabhu's place in Khar. He is, in the Hare Krishna movement, he is considered
along with Radhanath Swami Maharaj and a few others, as the most exalted Vaishnav in his ability to speak Gaur Leela. His heart is a hardcore, what you call Gaur Bhakta. He's a hardcore Gaur Bhakta. And his heart is filled with Gaur Prem. He was living for so many years as a dedicated servant of Radha Vrindavan Chandra in Sri New Vrindavan Dham, West Virginia. And he has come for the first time in 2 decades to India. And he will be coming to Chaupati also. So he, along with Radhanath Swami Maharaj, 2 of the best we can ever get. The highest, you know, we saw Shara Shiromani. So this is like, it's almost like that. It's also a type of Shiromani. So on beginning from Monday evening, Radhanath Swami Maharaj with Barsana Swami Maharaj, Monday evening, Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, Wednesday evening, these 3 glorious days, there will be combined Gaur Leela Katha by Barsana Maharaj and Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So all of us who are here are bound to be here. That goes without saying. I'm not inviting you actually, because you will definitely be there. But we are saying this for you to invite all your friends and all your cousins and all your relatives and all your colleagues to flood this temple to receive that mercy which will be being distributed from this dais on that day. So please take note of this. Let us reserve all our time through all our job schedules and call centers, whatever, wherever we are working, and our let us keep aside through proper management these few days to receive something which we need most desperately, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are the few announcements I was asked to make. So now we'll end over here and have